You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning. And welcome to Unity of Tustin on this second week of Adventure in Faith, where it is Orange Week. For those of you who are new or still checking us out, you don't know why people are dressed in orange. It is a part of this time of celebrating our community of playing in the spectrum of consciousness and building of the energy as we move toward the final weeks of Adventure in Faith in November. And it is also a time of truly focusing on our spiritual practices in the community that we all come to and worship in. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, this is a sacred place where we can and you can enter into and feel that experience of God in the ways that are meaningful to you. And that is my prayer and my wish for you and my intention this morning for us. I also want to bring forward that we have a prayer team holding Adventure in Faith in their prayers, and all of us who are stepping into this level of commitment this morning and throughout this time. So this morning I'm going to invite one of our prayer team members to open us in prayer. So will you join me in welcoming Bonnie Goslin?
Please join me in a unifying breath as we call forth our spirit today in oneness of mind, and let that oneness of mind be oneness of heart. Breath. Sweetest power of all that is, the one without a second, the Alpha and the Omega. In this breath, become our awareness and let the door of the mystery open. Let spirit wash away all so nothingness prevails and the face of God appears. Our sweet surrender held in grace sings our song of love. Assured trust calls us home, calls us here. Gratitude fills our heart. With this breath, all is known and unknown. We are all one and all that is. Everything belongs. Amen.
So last week we began our journey in Everything Belongs, which is the book, the anchor book that we're working with and the anchor material for this time during Adventure in Faith. And if you haven't picked it up yet, I encourage you to, because it's a fabulous book and it speaks specifically to the times that we're living in, whether it might be something at a personal level or at the global level. There is this call to awaken to a reality where everything belongs in the way that Richard Rohr is presencing it. And so we're in that journey for the next six weeks. So last week we started with looking at what he teaches as the two paths of transformation: suffering and prayer and love. And he talks about in the path of prayer that it seems to be the only light through times of darkness. And without it, most of us will sell out to group pressure and groupthink. I have a challenging question for you. When you looked at your news feed, or you turned on the news, for those of you who still do that, were you able to first turn to prayer when you heard of the shooting in Vegas? It's an important question because, you know, while there is time for action, whatever that action may be, in any kind of a crisis event, when the immediate response is to first turn to prayer, there is a portal, there is an opening, there is a light that's available to come through. that when we go solid immediately or go into our judgments or our opinions, that just gets blocked. And that's why I posted the video I did that morning that I found out. I went into prayer myself. I wasn't out of money, so I could remember, for those of you who were here last week. And really sat with what is this? What is the call? What is the first response? You know, in any kind of crisis situation, there are first responders, right? What is my first response? Because it's not to be a first responder. If I showed up, I would be more in the way than of help. So how can I be in service? And it's through prayer first and holding the broken heart of this of what happened. In our life, that is the oftentimes the first response that we need to have, because in a crisis, there's typically some kind of a broken heart that is first there. And that is part of this path of transformation that Richard Rohr is talking about, the path of love and prayer and the path of suffering. One way or another, one of them will get us to wake up eventually, if we are so lucky, if we become, the Buddhists say that awakening is like having an accident, and spiritual practices, meditation, and all of those are to make us more accident prone. If you think about, you know, your practices that you do, when you meditate, when you pray, when you tithe, when you serve, it's making you more accident prone to waking up, to having that handprint of God on your own heart and to experiencing God in your life in a really meaningful way. And this has really been my path as I was sitting with this path of transformation through love and prayer and suffering. That seems to be the way that I have particularly had opportunities to grow up and wake up. And as long as we're in a human body, that's probably going to be your primary path as well. How that shows up is going to look a little different. It's going to look a little different for all of us because we're unique beings in our bodies, right? But as long as we are in our body, we are in relationship with the world. And where there is relationship, there is an opportunity to grow and to be a part of and to love, and to be changed by that love, to be influenced by what it means to be here. The spiritual path is really about being influenced. That's what meditation, especially centering prayer and the contemplative prayer, it opens the portal within us to be influenced by something other than our own thoughts. What a concept! And transformation work, shadow work, gives us an opportunity to be influenced by more than our unconscious, to make it conscious. Everything is about relationship. And in that, there is this willingness to die before we die, which is one of the ways that we talk that enlightenment or waking up is referred to. To die before you die. To die to the old self, to die to the old patterns, and we specifically talk about this around the Easter time, right? This is the resurrection. We go through the dark night or the crucifixion, and on the other side, the Christian message in particular is that there is life after what appears to be death. And depending on what stage and age you are in your life, you have probably lived through some of these in one form or another. This sense of being forced to, invited first through love and prayer and then through suffering, when we don't get it, to go through that transformational process. And I have a picture of the Colosseum on the PowerPoint because, and I was there this summer, because there's this saying that some of the slaves and the people who were going in to be the entertainment for the day, knowing that they were going to die, there's a saying that, that some of them would yell to the emperor before they began. And it was, Ave Imperator, morituri te salutant. Morituri te salutant. Hail Emperor, those who are about to die salute you. And there's something that's always really struck me about that, because the path of love is the path of letting go. It is the path of death. But not the death of the physical body. It's the path of the death of all of those things that you hold on to that define you as you. And I want to talk about two ways that that particularly shows up, that when we walk into the arena of love, when we walk into the arena of life, our heart can say, morituri te salutant. Those who are about to die salute you. That part of me that still is holding on through all of the suffering that won't let go, I'm willing to enter the arena of love, the arena of life, and let go, and let God. So we're going to talk about two of those ways that that happens. And then how do we hold that? Because those can be really dark periods in our life. For those who have been through these already, and for those of you who are in the middle of one, perhaps, or for those of you who will be, because again, if you're in a body, eventually this will happen to you, and you're on a conscious path. You know, there's this idea when we come into a spiritual practice, when we come into church, there's something that is compelling us to be here. There's something that isn't working. There's some hunger or thirst even. Maybe it's not even about something's not working, but something, there's more. We know there's more. And the journey just keeps going deeper and deeper in that letting go and letting God. So then what? You know, we're in suffering and we're in pain. Does that mean we have to be in suffering and pain all the time? No. Those are pointers, though, to where we might want to begin to let go and let God more. So the two ways that we particularly can get broken open, you know, our heart first will break and then it will get broken open. And the first way that I was really sitting with is this experience of intended or unintended unconscious acts that we do to ourselves, or that we are the recipient of. And things like, you know, the shooting in Vegas. That wasn't someone's, you know, karma particularly to be shot at, and yet it happened. It's our collective karma. And there's the aftermath of that. If someone slights you and they don't even know it, there's still that experience of what it means for you, that now your heart might be broken. And it's an opportunity to sit with, how is this asking you to love more, to love yourself, to do some shadow work? Any time that there is some kind of a what feels like a perpetration or a violation, it's what it is it's a symptom or a sign of an unconscious world or person, including ourselves. And it's an opportunity and it's a call. I love how Harvey talked about calls. It's a calling to sit with it in a new way, to let it inform you in a new way. The other one is that a way that our heart gets broken and then broken open is when our illusions get shattered. Anyone ever had an illusion get shattered? And these can show up in a variety of ways. From, you know, a role that we've had, or a belief that we've had about ourselves, and all of a sudden we're getting feedback from others that this is not, they're seeing something else. Both of these, when we experience intended or unintended unconscious acts, and when our illusions are shattered, become the portals, the invitations to walk the path of love even more deeply, and to let it actually do its work in transforming us. And what Richard Rohr talks about is that we have to see what, and learn to see what is already there, which is powerful, to learn to see what is already there. And he talks about so often we are sleepwalking and unconscious to what is actually really going on in our life. And for me, what my takeaway was is, I will acknowledge that, and instead of trying to find out all the ways that I'm asleep, I'll wait for it to be really attentive to where the suffering is happening. Can you imagine trying to figure out all the ways that you're asleep? You don't know what you don't know. So you pay attention to where the suffering is. And you listen and you hold it. Look for the patterns of pain. And one of the things that Carolyn Mace talked about when I was on a retreat with her was that she said, we cannot handle a reordering of our life faster than our fear can handle it. So when we start to pay attention to where there might be patterns of pain or suffering, the reordering, the opening of our heart will only happen as fast as our fear or our trust, actually, our faith will allow it. So how do we do that? How do we hold this in the dark? We learn to see what's really there, which is incredibly powerful. Or, you know, our life, when our life is falling apart, or when we look out in the world, I don't know about you, but I look out in the world and I think, is it falling apart or is it reordering into a new order of enlightenment? My intention and the work that I do in my personal practice and here is that it is about reordering into a new order of enlightenment and awakening in the world. That is how I choose to hold and see this as a time of true transformation. How you see, what you see, will help determine how you interact and relate with what's going on in the world. Because one of the things that Richard Rohr talks about is that we relate to God at our present level of relational maturity. So how you relate to each other is how you relate to God also. So as I mentioned, you know, my practice has really been about serving and love and stepping into the arena of love. And as Harvey talked about, you know, he's been here a long time, and so have I. And in that, there's been many iterations of this community and stages in my own journey. And I was reflecting on one of these times where my heart was just broken. And in that broken open, I was rendered in that place of just, of truly not knowing. How many of you have been there? Of just not, you know, there's no plan, all the plans that you thought, no more. This is part of that everything belongs. Because we can go solid, and when we go solid, there is, and by solid I mean really stuck, like we start to approach things with I know the right way to do it, or I can fix it. Good luck. So I was reflecting on this one period 17 years ago where there was a church split here. Some of you were around for it, some of you weren't. Marge's son had died earlier that year, and she took the summer off, and our two licensed Unity teachers really helped run the church during that time. When she came back for Adventure in Faith in the fall, you know, they started a Saturday night service, but things just weren't going well. They were bumpy. And I felt like I was in the middle, because I loved everyone, and I was friends with everyone. And there was this sense of, I don't know about you, anyone in families where if something's going on, the last thing you do is talk about it? Yeah. How healthy is that? Anyone know how healthy that is? Not much. And yet no one was talking about it. And so we were all kind of swimming in this bumpy uncomfortableness, right? And I'm feeling like I'm in the midst of the bumpy uncomfortableness because I'm seeing a lot of sides. And at the same time, I am doing what we all do when things get bumpy. We form opinions. And I was forming opinions. And when we form opinions, what happens is that's the only thing we begin to see. Have you ever noticed that? When you make a decision about something, you will find every evidence of the truth of that statement and exclude any other reality. We have an amazing ability with our minds to filter information that way. So I started forming really, really solid, good opinions about what was right, what was wrong, what needed to be fixed, all of it. I know I am the only one who does that. But in the midst of that, wouldn't you know, I was going into this incredible dark period. Because when we form opinions, when I formed opinions, and when I was faced with this do I stay or do I go question, because that was the question on the table really at that point, I had no idea. There was like this white space of, you know, you're walking into a fog and you just can't see. And one of the takeaways from today's experience that I want to leave you with is that on this journey, that experience will not go away. So do not think that the more you meditate, the more you study, I know, that there will not be periods of complete unknowing and complete undoing. What happens is that we begin to befriend those times. One of the ways that Richard Rohr talks about this is he says these dark periods are good teachers because we start to look at the questions, not look for the answers and the opinions about what's happening. We must learn to stay with the pain of life without answers, without conclusions, and some days without meaning. That is the path, the perilous dark path of true prayer. So I want to talk about the darkness for a minute, these dark periods, because actually the truth is we think of them as being really insular and nothing's happening. And on the surface, it kind of looks like nothing's happening or terrible things are happening, either one. But these dark periods can actually be very fertile times. And that's what it was for me during the 17 years ago, because it was when I went into therapy. And I started, you know, questioning again, look at the questions more than the opinions. There was this sense of like, I had no idea. And there were still decisions that needed to be made. You know, in dark periods, just because there's this unknowing, it doesn't mean that you don't fumble around and do the best you can. You have to live life at the same time. And clearly I decided to stay. But there was still this just incredible unknowing and undoing that was happening in my heart and in my being. And for those of you who are walking through some of these experiences now, there will be that just, I'm going to do life, but I have no idea why. And it's okay, because this is part of the process. It's actually the way that things can actually start to move. Because again, this is where we start to actually, we can start to do our work. And this is where the beginner mind kicks in. And this is a Zen teaching. This is a really beautiful way to approach these periods, where instead of going into a place where we say, I know, and this is the answer, and you're right, and this person's wrong, and here's what you need to do, and going into criticism and righteousness, or perhaps even control, all of those things that are our defaults, typically, when things are out of control, is to first say, I don't know. That alone can be the last thing we want to do. Because typically we're oriented to know. We have a society that's based on you have to know. And the truth is, the path of transformation is actually about not knowing. It's about being curious. And that's really what beginner's mind is. And it's not the beginner's mind like a child. There's an innocence there. There's a sense of something has happened. The heart has been broken and broken open. And in that heartbreak, I'm willing to not know. I'm willing to look at things with fresh eyes, with a sense of wonder. And so that's what I ended up doing as a part of this process. Richard Rohr says, the older we get, the more we've been betrayed and hurt and disappointed, the more barriers we put up to beginner's mind. It becomes easier to say, you don't know the life I've lived. Or we get more entrenched. We must never presume that we see. We must always be ready to see our souls anew, to be vulnerable, and to say, I don't know anything. So this week, as you enter into beginner's mind, of sitting with that space of not knowing, befriending that, I invite you to continue to practice saying, I don't know anything. And come back next week, because we're not going to stay there. God bless you.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.